was going on? You know, if you did an internet search on the top stories in the last year to 20 months, it's this huge list. I did that one day this last week just to look at all the things, and had forgotten most of them, and yet at the time, they were horrific. I mean, who's thinking about, well, the people in Minneapolis are. One of our grandkids was talking about moving to Minneapolis, and her parents said, over our dead body, you're not moving to Minneapolis. You know, who is that fresh on your mind anymore, last summer? No, because all these other things have just eclipsed it. And so I find for me the greatest comfort, my greatest source of comfort is, of course, to always go to the Word. And so in the midst of what looks like a perfect storm in our world today, there are things in God's Word that are just, they're timeless. Yes. They're eternal. Sean talked about that a little bit this morning, but Proverbs 91, and of course, you know, I've shared on this a number of times. I did when I was still teaching healing. Did I say Proverbs? Oh, my. Psalms 91, sorry. Wow. I'm gonna preach a new book for the Bible. Psalms 91 is full of timeless promises. And it almost, to me, it almost feels like it was recorded for this particular time. Now, of course, we know that mankind has been enjoying that passage of Scripture through the ages, but it seems like it's so applicable for this particular moment. And, you know, I spend time in Psalms 91 every single day. I'm able to find it, I guarantee you. I'm not looking at Proverbs for it. So if I say Proverbs anymore, please forgive me. Don't laugh too hard. Oh, so let's open up to Psalm 91. We're going to look at a few things here that I just think we need to be reminded of. Amen. Father, thank you so much for your precious word. It is timeless. It is applicable to us today. It is relevant. It's the truths contained therein pertain to every one of our lives today. Father, we thank you that you are faithful to your word. You are faithful to your people. And Lord, we know we can trust you. And we just thank you today for unction. We thank you for ears to hear. We thank you for hearts that are open and willing to receive the word. Father, we just love you so much. We love you so much and are so grateful for all that you've done for us and all that you've prepared, all that you have made and keep ready for us. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, Psalm 91, starting in verse 1, and I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. It says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand." I love that. I love that chapter, or that verse. "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. On him I lean and rely, and in him I confidently trust. For then, he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence." And then the following verses just go into all these wonderful things that Psalms 91 promises us because of those first couple of verses. Everything in that psalm really hinges on those first couple of verses. But just some key points just to take away there. First of all, it just says, "he who dwells." Now, there's a couple ways of looking at that word dwell. You know, of course, we think of dwelling as where you're living, right? It's the place of residence. But I usually apply a completely different application of that word here. I apply the meaning dwelling as in what you're thinking on. What are you dwelling on? What are you dwelling on? Because right now we're constantly being challenged to dwell on some pretty horrific things. Now, I'm not saying don't ever look at the news. I'm an information junkie. I love to learn, and I love to look at things on the internet. But you know what? That's not where I live. So that's the other dwell. I don't dwell there. I don't live there. I have to balance out what I see and what I read. I have to balance that out with what the Word says. So dwelling to me, first and foremost, is you know, where my mind is at. And you're going to have to be a word dweller to benefit from the promises of God. You can't just have a little quick snack once in a while. If you're not dwelling on a daily basis, you're going to get overrun. You'll just be overrun by what's going on. And that's why we see so many people, even people that are Christians, that are fearful and anxious today. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to believe. That's the scariest thing. They don't know what to believe. They just don't even have enough of a foundation of God's word in them to know what they should believe about what's going on. So we need to dwell. We need to have our minds dwelling and focused on the word of God. And then it tells us what we should be dwelling on. We should be dwelling on the secret place. And that's the title for today's message, is The Secret Place. I could not come up with anything more witty than that, so... The secret place. And to me, again, so much of this is our own, how our own heart processes the things we read in God's word and how it interprets it and what it speaks to us. But to me, the secret place is all of the promises that God's word tells us about who we are in Him. Who am I in Him? Because that's what really matters. It doesn't matter what I am in this natural world as much as it matters what I am in Him. Who I am, what belongs to me, what I can do as a believer, the things that Jesus paid for that equip me to be an overcomer in this world, to be more than a conqueror in this world. So it's dwelling in a place that we're focusing constantly on who we are. We're focusing constantly. When we see something on the news and we feel that anxiety come up in us, I might lose my job. What am I going to do? How am I going to take care of my family? Well, that's why we need to be established. Psalm 112, verses 7 and 8. We need to have our hearts fixed and trusting in the Lord. We need to have our hearts established on those in Him realities. We call them new creation realities. It's all the things that the word has to say about who we are, what we have as believers, and what we can do as believers. So, the secret place. It's a look forward of what God was going to do through Jesus and the place that we would live as believers. And then it says that we would be stable and fixed. You know, those two words are the antithesis of what we're seeing going on in the world today. The world is not stable and fixed, and many Christians are not stable and fixed. They are confused and they're broken. They're broken. They're broken in their minds, their emotions. They're broken in their bodies. We have so many broken Christians physically because they are not dwelling on the Word of God. So I'm a Word person, but are you dwelling there? Are you dwelling there? Because if you were dwelling there, the promises that are so huge in this passage of Scripture, we'd be enjoying those promises. Amen. I know that's a strong challenge, but we need to be stable and fixed. And the only way to remain stable and fixed is to keep our minds fixed on Him, to keep our minds dwelling on Him, stayed on Him, however you want to say it, anchored on Him, anchored on the finished work of the cross. Because we have no control over what's going on in this world. We have no control over the economy. We have no control over our governor or our president. We can pray for them and we can influence through prayer, but we have no control. There's nothing we can control in the natural sense, but we have control over ourselves. How we respond to these things as they come up and as they happen. Do we freak out? Every time something worse happens, are we freaking out by every day the news, the things the news has to say? Or are we immediately going back to dwell? Nope. I know what God has to say about this. So we need to be stable and fixed. Why is it so important to dwell? Well, the importance of dwelling is that whatever you dwell on is what's going to fill your heart. And whatever fills your heart is what's going to come out of your mouth. I mean, that is a reality. Whatever you're all constantly focusing on and looking at and dwelling on is going to fill your heart. And out of your heart flow the issues of life. The boundaries of your life were created by what you filled your heart with and then what comes out of your mouth. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Perfect peace, not just peace, but perfect peace. You know, that's the word shalom. Shalom means nothing missing, nothing broken. Perfect peace. You know, I just challenge you today, if you go home and, you know, your phone, we have one particular thing that we have on our phones that we've subscribed to that gives a little different slant on what's going on in the world today. It's not the woke approach. It's a more realistic approach to things. And even they, you know, oftentimes things will pop up that will tell us some things that are going on that aren't so great. You know, just, again, informed. Just to be informed. That's all, okay? There's nothing wrong with being informed. You don't want to stick your head in the sand and pretend everything's la-la. It's not la-la. We've got a fight on our hands. But it says God will keep us in perfect peace. Shalom, the word shalom, because we trust in him. I kind of see it like, you know, storms come, don't they? They come to everybody. And it would be like being a boat in a storm, and you've tied that boat, you've moored it to the dock. You've tied it up securely so that no matter what happens in that storm, that boat is going to stay put. That's what the person who dwells in the secret place, that's a picture of that person who, no matter what the world is throwing at them, no matter what's going on everywhere in the world, I mean, right now, I just heard this morning that they're predicting Hurricane Henry is going to hit New England. It's the first time a hurricane will have hit New England in 30 years. Do you think they're a little worried? Sure they are. Every day we're hearing things like that are going on, and, well, that doesn't matter. It doesn't affect us. Well, you know, we should be concerned about what's happening to people everywhere because God loves people. So perfect peace comes when we keep our minds stayed, tied, moored to the realities of God's word. You know, in Psalm 91, a little farther down in verse 8, this is a scripture, some of you don't know, but I had a little confrontation with cancer 5 years ago. And, you know, I know that word scares a lot of people, but it didn't scare us. You know, we sat in the doctor's office when they first told me, and we looked at each other like, what? Like, what? Do you remember that? Stood there like, are you serious? And so but to me it was like a little blip. Now I'm not downplaying people that have a more serious situation than I did. I consider it to have been a very minor thing. But there's a passage here in Psalm 91, verse 8. It says, "Only a spectator shall you be." Yourself inaccessible in the secret place of the Most High as you witness the reward of the wicked. Now, does that mean nothing bad will ever happen to us? No, it just means that you're going to get through it. You're going to move through it. The storms can come, but you're going to move through it. You know, even that little boat might get rained on. Amen? But when it's all said and done, that boat is still standing. And so I saw myself more as a spectator. I felt like I was more of an observer of what was going on with me than a participator in it. You know, we live on a golf course, and behind us is this beautiful scenery and these rolling hills. And when storms come in, we love it when it storms, because when storms come in, we have this vista of, you know, it's a broad vista of the sky, and so we can see storms that are miles and miles away. We can see these huge clouds build up, and we can see the lightning flashing through it. And sometimes they come and visit us. They come very close and visit us. But I love that, because I can stand on that porch and watch a horrific storm go on right outside my windows, and it doesn't affect me at all. I'm just a spectator. That's all I am. I'm just a spectator. That storm isn't gonna come in our house. We're safe. And that's what this secret place should be for every one of us. It should be that place of stability and safety. But keep your mind stayed on the word of God so that you can have perfect peace. Amen. Then in verse 2 of Psalm 91, it says, I will say. Now, I'm jumping over a lot because I have just a little bit of time to share. I think I've done more extensive teachings on this back some years ago, and so it might be in the archives, I don't know. There's so much we could say about verse 1, but today we just don't have time to cover it all. But in verse 2, it says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. On him I lean and rely, and on him I confidently trust. And it says, I will say. Now that word say has a number of different meanings, but my favorite of all the meanings of that word say is to answer. Because every problem we face, everything that we see in this world that might affect us, it's demanding an answer from us. Right. What's your answer going to be? To me, my answer was, no way. No way. I knew enough of the Word of God. I was grounded in the Word of God. I knew how to respond when that storm came into my life. And so, you know, and good report, my 5 years has come and gone. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Clean as a whistle. So I love it. But it means to answer. You have to make a decision. Are you going to speak for the truth, or are you going to speak for the storm? When the threats come, and when the things that are looming constantly, which one are you going to speak for? You're going to speak for that, or are you going to speak for the answers? We have to decide once and for all that we're going to speak for the answer. We're going to speak for God's answer, which is the truth. That's the answer we're going to give. And you know, there's a lot of people that don't like the whole concept of faith and confession and all of that, but you know, the Bible says in Luke chapter 6 that the good man out of the good treasure of his heart will bring forth, bear fruit, or produce. So we need to fill our hearts up with the Word of God so that that's what's coming out of our mouth when these storms come. And you know what? It's not over. It's not over. What's going on over there? It's not over. I know in myself, I have this tendency occasionally for this little Pollyanna-esque attitude to kind of try to rise up in me, because when this is all over and everything's normal again and we're all back, and then it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. The new normal. So you know what? We need to know how to adjust. Amen? Nothing's changed as far as God's concerned. Do you know that the early church, pastors shared this, we've talked about this at prayer, the early church was birthed under one of the most oppressive regimes, and it thrived and it grew. Why can't we today? Why can't we? Both as a church, but also as individuals. But I also love what it says here. This is what I will say. This is what I will answer. And it's my answer is about him. It says, of the Lord. My answer is of the Lord. It says, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. On him I lean and rely, and in him I confidently trust. I love what it says there, because it says, my God. My Lord, my refuge. He's not just a refuge. He is my refuge. A refuge is what you go to in a time of trouble. It's the thing or person you run to. Unfortunately, many people, what they run to is they run to the internet, or they run to the email to write an email to everybody to tell them, let them know how sick they are or how bad it is or what they're going through. Now, there's nothing wrong with going to somebody who can give you a good answer. Or they run to social media and they post it. Bad idea. Because I would say 90% of what you're going to hear back is going to be doubt and unbelief. You need to stay with your own company. Amen. You need to stay with your own company. You need to be with people that are going to speak the word to you even when it's hard to hear, because that's going to get you out of that situation. So it's my God, my refuge, my fortress. It's very personal. Is God your refuge? Is he who you run to the first, when something bad happens, or or you get a bad report of some kind, or something's going on in your life or in your family, where do you run? You should run to your refuge. It's God. He's your refuge. Amen? He's your fortress. He's your God. It says, in Him, I confidently trust. Confidently trust. The Bible says all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen. You know, they're all yes. Every promise you see in the Bible is yes. There's a yes attached to it. But they're not automatic. They have to be activated by faith. They have to be activated in your life. They have to be accessed in your life by faith. You know, it's God's will that every man should come to the knowledge of the truth and that none should perish. Do you know that? Is every man coming to the knowledge of the truth? Is every man being saved? No. People have to respond to the promises of God. We respond by faith. We access the promises of God, the graces of God. We access them by faith. That means we see what God's word says. We allow that to begin to influence our hearts until we can respond. Remember, faith is just a response to what God has already done by grace. Faith doesn't move God. People say, oh, we're going to move the hand of God. God's hand is moved. Amen. It's been moved. Amen. We just access those promises by being fully persuaded about them, by getting to know Him. That's what these first two verses are talking about, is getting to know Him. Know the one that whose image you're created in. Amen? Faith should be an easy thing for us. We're called believers, aren't we? That's what we're called. So it's a secret place. It's a secret place. That's prophetic of who we are in Christ and what we can do because we are filled with His life and power. You need to remind yourself every day that you're filled with the life and power of God and that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you and that He is there to do the same thing in you that He did in Jesus, to quicken you, to make you alive, to cause the power of God to flow in your life. Now, Pastor was so wonderful. He did something for us yesterday. I asked him to do this, and he created, for those of you that have never had this list of In Him scriptures, we have three pages. This is three pages. Six pages. Three pages, both sides, of In Christ, In Him, In the Beloved, In the Lord, In Whom, By Christ, By Him, By Himself, by His blood, by whom, from whom, of Christ, of Him, through Christ, through Him, with Christ, with Him, by me, in my love, in His name. And there's some miscellaneous ones in there. All the scriptures, this is all about you. This might be like a Christian selfie. That's what this is. This is a spiritual selfie. But, you know, most Christians only know a few of these. There are a gob of them here. If you want one of these after the service, come on up. We're asking one per household. We've got like 30 copies of this. If you would like a copy of this, please feel free to come up and get one. We talked about this the other day, and I've actually been thinking about perhaps, because I need to get back on doing some weekly things, maybe we go through and do a study of these. You know, just a few a week or something. To understand all these wonderful things. This is what the Word says about us. You know, so much of the world is going through trouble right now because we have an identity crisis. People don't know who they are. Right. Even believers, they just don't know who they are. This will solve that identity crisis. This answers all of any identification issues people have. You know, people say, oh, they're just acting out because they don't know who they are. Well, let's call that quits. Let's find out who we are. Amen? So I want to share a scripture with you that is a little different application than normal on this scripture. But this is a scripture that came, that kind of dropped into my heart when I was thinking about the secret place. Let's look at John chapter 14 this morning. This is a passage that we've probably applied more or less in one way in our Christian lives, but I want to apply it a little bit differently, so please give me just a little license with this. This helps answer some things about in him. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1, and this is the Passion Translation. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "Don't worry or surrender to your fear." Oh, boy, those are great words for today, aren't they? Don't worry or surrender. Just because you feel some fear doesn't mean that you're in fear. It means don't surrender to that. That fear can come to anybody. Those feelings of fear, just don't surrender. Don't surrender to it. Remember the acronym for fear, false evidence appearing real? He goes on to say, for you've believed in God, now trust and believe in me also. My Father's house has many dwelling places. Many dwelling places. If it were otherwise, I would tell you plainly, because I go to prepare a place for you to rest. And when everything is ready, I will come back and take you to myself so that you will be where I am. So, my question is, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Where was Jesus going? Huh?
Right hand
of the— No, before that, where was Jesus going? Where was he going? Right there. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. He was going to the cross. Right. Jesus going was to the cross, and he said he was going to prepare a place for us. So that's first where he was going. He was going to the cross to prepare a place. So his going had something to do with that. And he said, when everything is ready, then he said he would come back and take us to himself so that we could be in union with him. Now, since his going was to the cross, what do we know about that? We know scriptures that tell us that we were crucified with Christ. When God looked down at that cross and those arms that were stretched out, he saw every man, woman, and child that had ever been born, that would ever be born on this earth. He saw them there in him, because it tells us in Galatians that we were crucified with him. So he went to prepare this place for us, a place in himself. And then he said he would come back. He came back with the work finished after having died and been buried and gone to hell to pay whatever price had to be paid there, to fight off what had to be fought there, to get victory over what had to be gotten, and then to be raised up. All of that he did in preparation for us to take our place in him.
Amen.
In him. That's the place that he went to. He went to prepare himself as a place for the believers to live in, to live from. So many of us aren't living from that place. We're not living from who we are in him and the price that he paid for us to live victorious lives. I mean, I can quote a few scriptures right here. I was crucified with Christ. Colossians 3:3, you are dead and your life is hid with Christ. Romans 6:6, our old man was crucified with him. And then Acts 17:28, it says, for in him we live and move and have our being. So there's an area of your life that in him, in whom, by him, scripture does not touch. Not one. I just wrote off the top of my head, we're buried with him and raised and seated with him. We're victorious with him. These are all in hims that'll be on that sheet. In him, there's no condemnation. In him, we're justified and made righteous. In him, we're blessed with every spiritual blessing. We are complete in him. We're accepted in him. We are strong in the power of his might. We have boldness through him, through faith in him. We're healed in him by his stripes. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in him. That's the secret place. We're not talking about some little prayer closet. That's my secret place. Nobody knows where I am. I'm in my secret place. That's not the secret place. I mean, I don't mean to make light of that, but And you know, some people, they read it and they don't get it. They don't get what they're reading. Well, you know, we have a helper to help us understand these things, to help us take ownership of the things that we see. The scripture that I always go to when I'm struggling with understanding a scripture, getting the fullness of what that scripture is trying to say to me, is always 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And the Phillips translation here is so good. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. It says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has, through his Spirit, let us share his secret." Right. The secret doesn't mean it's hidden from us. It's hidden for us. "For nothing is hidden from the Spirit, not even the deep wisdom of God. For who could really understand a man's inmost thoughts except the Spirit of the man himself? How much less could anyone understand the thoughts of God except the very Spirit of God?" And a lot of people just stop there. Well, see, you know, it's never entered into, I've never seen it, or my ears have never heard, my heart's never conceived. Yet. "And the marvelous thing is this, that we now receive not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God himself, so that we can actually understand something of God's generosity towards us." Isn't that good? The Amplified says that so that we can receive all that God has prepared and made and kept ready for us. So in other words, he's made it and he's keeping it ready for you. That means it's never too late. We think, well, I'm X number of years old. How am I? It's never too late. God's keeping it ready for you. He's keeping it ready. Whatever it is that you need to see in his word, he's keeping that ready. He prepared it for you. And it's like an inventory, a depot in an industrial location where you go up. You know, I used to work years ago. I worked in a place that we examined little tiny circuit boards for pacemakers, and those tools were really fragile, and you dropped that tool, it was dead. These are tiny, tiny little microscopic things, and we worked with scopes, and we were in a clean room, and you know, you'd have to go back to this room, and you would have to put in an order for everything we needed was there. We just had to go access it. That's all we had to do. God is so generous, and he has made and kept. If you need healing in your body, hey, God's got it. He's got it. It's there for you. Don't settle for anything in your life that does not reflect the finished work of the cross. Don't settle. Sometimes people have had these things for so many years, they've just made friends with it. They've just made peace with it. Stop that. Our lives should be memorials to the goodness of God. Amen. Amen. I mean, I have neighbors. This is so fun. I have neighbors that know about my brush with cancer. They call me now to ask me. I always tell them first about my faith in God. Always. And it's so funny. I had one just back about a week or so ago. I was talking to a couple ladies. You know, everybody in our community, because it's on a golf course, they all drive around in golf carts. And so I was out watering, and the golf cart stopped, and two of my neighbor ladies were there, and wonderful, wonderful women. And so we were sharing. We got on talking about vaccines, and of course they're in the same camp we are, so it was really fun. It ended up being about an hour and a half conversation. But I, you know, it came around to what I had dealt with back 5 years ago and my journey, and I started preaching the word to them. I said, you know, I kind of apologized a little bit, and one of them looked at me and said, "Don't you ever apologize for that." Now, this was a little Catholic woman, and she said, "You don't ever apologize for that." And I said, "Well, you know, some people get kind of offended when you start talking about God's word." She goes, "Well, we're not offended." So I get to share that. I get to share my journey with these people. They know what I had. They know what I faced, what I went through, and they know that I'm through on the other side of it. Amen. It's an awesome thing. And now there's a few of them that I've had phone calls about from it. So I love this. This is what our lives should be. They should be a memorial to the goodness of God. Amen? Amen. So it's never too late. You know, your eyes may not have yet seen that you're the righteousness of God. You may not yet be experiencing what righteousness is, but it's just yet. It's still to come. It's up to you if you're ever going to experience that or not. You need to throw yourself into that place of dwelling and thank the Holy Spirit for his ministry in your life to be your teacher. He's the one you got to rely on to expose those realities. Amen. Now, I know I've got to quit here, but I keep a journal. I just journal everything, I think. Sometimes they're not pleasant, because sometimes I journal reactions to things. But this is my journal from just about a week and a half ago. I wrote down, secret place in him. If we'll take up residence in him, we'll become stable and fixed, where no foe can touch us. We'll answer the lies, the threats, the doom that appear to be looming. We'll see him as our refuge, and we'll talk that. Dwelling means spending time focusing on who we are in him. And then I wrote down these passages of scripture from Psalm 91. Now, this part of Psalm 91 I'd never really seen. Now, you might think, oh, you were stupid. Well, I'd never seen it this way before, but the last verses of Psalm 91, the first verses are what we say about God. But you know what? The last verses are what God says about us. It just flips. All of a sudden, he starts telling us what he says about the person who dwells in him, in that secret place, and who is declaring their faith in him. This is what God says now about them. And it just struck me. Now, you probably have seen this before. I never saw it this way before. This is what God will say. We know what we will say about the Lord, but this is what he will say about the person who has made him their refuge and made him their fortress and is willing to declare their faith in him. This is what he says about them. He says, love this. He says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he knows and understands my name. He has personal knowledge of my mercy, love, and kindness, trusts and relies on me, knowing that I will never leave him, never forsake him, no, never. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. That's what God says about the person who lives in the secret place and is committed to that. You know, people say, well, what you don't know won't hurt you. Ha. What you don't know will kill you. It will kill you. And that's why we see people die prematurely. You know, I this one precious lady that I talked to said, well, you know, God's got this special day for you. There's a special day on his calendar for you to go home. Well, let's see what the word says about that. That's not a special day. So, he says, listen to this. He says, I'm just trying to find it exactly. He has personal knowledge. Personal knowledge. This, we're not just talking about, okay, yeah, I know what the word says. I'm talking about personal knowledge. You've experienced this. He says, he has personal knowledge. So, do I know? We need to ask ourselves, you need to run down this list of stuff here. Do you know some things? Do you know that God will never leave you or forsake you?
Yes.
Do you know that? Do you know that? Do you know that when you call on God, he'll answer you? Do you know that when trouble comes, God will be with you?
Amen.
Do you know that he will deliver you and he'll honor you?
Yes.
Do you know that he'll satisfy you with long life? You know what that word satisfy? It means to be sated. To have one's fill. In other words, you don't have to go until you've had your fill of life. Our moms both lived to be the ripe old age of 96 and 99. And we used to tell them all the time, you don't have to go until you're satisfied. And we told Dwayne's mom that one time. She goes, I like that. Well, she lived to be 96. So he will satisfy you with long life. He will satiate you, fulfill you with long life. Do you know that he'll show you his salvation? Now, this is all the promises to the dwellers and to those who know him as their refuge and to who know him as their fortress and who are speaking what they believe about that. This is what God is saying about that person. Do you know that he'll show you his salvation? Do you know that word salvation is Yeshua? You know who Yeshua was or is? It's Jesus. God will show us his Jesus. Amen? I love that. But the word means deliverance, welfare, prosperity, victory. There isn't anything not covered there. God says he'll show you those things in your dwelling times. That's what he'll show you. When you run to him instead of to the internet or to the email chain or to whoever to tell everybody how bad it is, what you're dealing with, that you'll run to him first, that you'll go to him. He'll show you his salvation. He'll show you the answer. I love that. He will show us who we are in him. One last scripture, Colossians chapter 3. Starting in verse 2, this is the Passion Translation. I love this. It says, yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm. Amen. Your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life, and now your true life is hidden away in God, in Christ. And as Christ himself is seen for who he really is, who you really are will also be revealed. For you are now one with him in his glory. You want to know who you are? Then you need to see who Jesus is. When you get a revelation of who he is, it says who you are will be revealed. It says don't allow yourself to be filled with the distractions of this life. We were on a road trip with our grandkids back last month. We went to some of the most incredible places in the United States. I mean, we were in the Black Hills. We saw Devil's Tower. We went to Mount Rushmore. We went up to Pikes Peak, all the way up. We went to the Royal Gorge. We went to Ouray, Colorado, which is this fun little town that we have fallen in love with. It's this town right at the base of this mountain. It's just this tiny little town. We went from there. We went to the Grand Canyon, the North Rim, the Grand Canyon. Then we went to Zion. Then we went to Bryce Canyon, and then we came home. And you know that there were many times on that drive, we were driving through the most incredible things you've probably seen in your life if you've never been out there. This is what they're doing. This is what these kids are doing. Yeah. It's like, guys, why would you allow yourself to be distracted from the beauty around you? Because I got to find out if somebody likes what I just said. I got to find out, do they like it? Do they like that? Maybe they like the picture I just posted. I got to find out. Who gives a rip? Right? Don't, it says, fill yourself with these treasures of the heavenly realm. Fill your thoughts with heaven realities and not with the distractions of the natural world or the natural realm. I mean, feast on it. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Why would you, I don't mean to be crude here, but if somebody had a table set in front of you and there was a pile, a big hot, warm pile, steaming
get the picture.
Okay. And next to that was a bowl of ripe fruit, just luscious fruit. Like, let's see, which one do I want? This is what he's telling us. He said, anyway, you did get the picture. He said, yes. It says, your crucifixion with Christ has severed the ties to this life. And your true life is hidden away in God, in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? The more you learn about who you are in him and what you have in him and what you can do in him, the more you learn, the more you're going to understand about who you are. When you see what he's done on your behalf, there's nothing he hasn't touched for us, not one thing. There isn't any, that's why we don't have to be afraid of what we see coming on the earth today. We don't have to fear what's going on in the Middle East. We don't have to fear what they're telling us, what we have to do, or we'll get fired. We don't have to fear the jab. We don't have to fear anything because we have a secret place to go. Amen. And when you go to that secret place, you know what? God's got answers for you. He's got things. You may need some guidance. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. It says, in all your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. He'll make it straight and plain for you to see exactly what you need to do in that situation. But that's a choice. Amen? That is a choice. So as I said, we've got these wonderful, wonderful sheets of in him scriptures. I just challenge you. A pastor has shared many times that when he was first born again, the first thing he did was he got that those scriptures out, was in Brother Hagin's little in him book and his Bible, and he sat down every night and he went through those scriptures. That's what he feasted on for, I don't know how long, months. And you know what it did? It established his heart in the truth. You know, he's never been tempted to backslide, ever, because his heart's fixed. His heart's established. Amen. All right. Well, Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Father God, that this message would just serve as an encouragement and a challenge to every single person here. Lord, that we just open our hearts to you to do the work in us that needs to be done, that this is the only labor that we have to enter into. Is to spend time dwelling on your word and in your presence. That's our only labor. So we can have that rest that's promised us. Father, we love your word. We esteem it more than our necessary food. We thank you, Father, that the answers to everything we face in this life are contained in your holy scriptures. We thank you. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. That means Jesus, the incarnate word, said, the word is the way, the word is the truth, and the word is the life. We thank you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Amen.